You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I had an issue, Stugatz, over the weekend that made me question Tony's contention that Bad Bunny is the biggest musical act in the world right now. And I didn't think I could question that because his streaming numbers are an insanity.
It's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get to, thank you.
Guys, relax.
For allowing me to unspool the story. I appreciate that as always, Billy. Yes, it is, I believe, Taylor Swift. And the evidence that I have this weekend is that I have the person who gets the secret stash of tickets for me reaching out to me to see if I can find anyone in the universe who can get Taylor Swift tickets in either Chicago over the weekend or upcoming in Pittsburgh. And the most powerful people in ticket brokering can't get at tickets for the way that Taylor Swift tickets are not available anywhere.
So you're saying the secret stash guy, if he cannot get a hold of tickets, there is a major, major problem.
Well, not just that. I'm saying that's the first part of it. The
right.
Second part of it, he never asks. He's always the guy that produces them for me, has never asked. So I'm like, I'll try. I will reach out to the most powerful people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, nope, cannot do it.
Sorry about that.
And I think that concert ticket, is there a difference that we're making between fame? I don't even know, like, how I'd put them next to each other and how we do the measurements on who's a bigger artist. Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Who's a bigger musical act right now, Taylor Swift or Bad Bunny?
It's always Bad Bunny. And I think you're looking in the wrong places, Dan. That's the issue.
What does that mean?
Bad Bunny might be more famous internationally, but there is no hotter ticket in music right now than Taylor Swift. So much to the point that you can see videos now.
Right.
Of gigantic crowds of tens of thousands of people waiting outside of the stadium where she's having her concerts just to listen together and dance outside. They're not even buying tickets to the show. They're just waiting outside of stadiums.
You
want to
talk
crazy.
About outside, Jeremy? Bad Bunny and Arcángel did a concert on top of a gas station in Puerto Rico. And the entire street,
that's
the
one
entire
gas
country.
Station, though, Tony.
Has Taylor Swift ever done a concert on top of a gas station?
But Jeremy is saying there are people outside stadiums.
The entire country of Puerto Rico is on the street watching them.
She's
filling a 70,000 arena stadium, and then outside there's 10,000 people.
I'm talking about an entire country watching Bad Bunny on a gas station.
That's not true.
It's pretty amazing that the whole country was outside.
That's
that
what I'm
gas
trying to
station.
Tell you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cody, please look up for me because you said 70,000, and I want to state it again so that people understand what I'm saying. I think Soldier Field is more than that.
I think it's closer to 95,000 people.
I'm not sure how big it is, and I again want to tell you, I'm reaching out to the most powerful people in entertainment to get a ticket for three nights at Soldier Field that are sold out. And
sometimes it's harder to buy one ticket.
Yeah, buying one ticket's difficult.
Ticket broker guy right here.
61,500 people.
Not even 70,000.
Really?
Look up the population.
Three nights.
Did you tell this powerful person you could just go outside and listen for free and that Bad Bunny used to perform on the
Who are the top five most powerful people that you know? Can we do that? I mean,
3.2 million in Puerto Rico.
I just want to know who you reached out to.
And all 3.2 million are outside of this gas station. Is
watching
how you have
him.
It.
Yep.
That's what you're telling me?
Skip's got to be one of them.
Skip?
Not yet. Haven't tried Skip yet. It's more than that.
What a list you have of people if he's not even on your list.
Wow.
Oh.
Didn't know Riley was
OLI
a Swiftie.
OLI for Skip. I mean,
can you please tell me before you leave here, can you please tell me your search for the Jokic brothers? Where can we find more information about this? Because, Stugatz, we got a couple things going on locally here in Miami. You've seen perhaps on our YouTube channel that we have another Dollar Shave Club duel. It's a pickleball match. It's Dan, the Grief Eaters, against Stugatz's Heaters.
Mm-hmm.
Jess and Juju against Chris and Roy in pickleball. You can head to DraftKings.com/DollarShaveClub to see if you cashed out on that contest. And we've got a live punishment coming on Wednesday's show from that result. But also Wednesday night, You could come watch the game here with us locally. We don't do a lot of this. A finals watch party presented by Dollar Shave Club Wednesday night. Tip off 8:30. Savage Labs in Wynwood. We will have show members out there watching the game. That's going to be game three here in Miami. But, Amin, before you leave for the day and continue your coverage from Denver for us, and before you come down to Miami for the rest of the finals, what are you doing in pursuit of the Jokic brothers? I've been wanting, Stugatz, for a long time. We've got a huge get later in today's show. I've been wanting for 3 years to get a hold of the kayakers who were just kayaking, and then a whale breached the water, and they ended up in the whale's mouth. I've been trying to find these people for 3 years. We finally found them, and I want to hear about that experience. It's going to be later in the show. But also, Amin has been sent with a Metal Arc budget to go secure an interview with the Jokic brothers, correct?
Well, secure an interview is rather ambitious, Dan. First, we have to confirm of their actual existence.
What do you mean? We've seen them in the stands. What do you mean? We've had a hard time getting a hold of them, finding them, their story. Is the NBA concealing them from us? They don't want Jokic's story told through his brothers?
Look, this is all I know, Dan. This whole story started when Nikola Jokic shoved Markieff Morris in the back last season, right? And remember, we all circled the date when Denver would be visiting Miami, and the brothers talked a whole bunch of stuff or whatever, said, where are these brothers? And I showed up dressed like Don Kang, not to be confused with Don King, and I searched for them, and we didn't find them anywhere, even though I was trying to set up the fight of a century. So fast forward to 2023, and I'm under the belief that, hey, what if these guys are just like propaganda, you know, something that they create boogeyman in the night to scare you, to tell little kids to eat their vegetables and things like that. Everywhere I go, I hear about these Jokic brothers. But I haven't seen them. And not only have I not seen them, I haven't met anyone who's seen them. And the ones who have seen them, they all speak with this trembling fear. And so I've got interviews with a bunch of people, NBA players. I've got Hall of Fame journalists. I've got the people here in the streets of Denver asking them, where's Nikola Jokic's brothers? Do they actually exist? Have you had a confirmed sighting or meeting with them? And I think everyone's going to really like what I found.
All right. Well, for people who are not aware, though, of because this is years ago now, you went to a Heat game with – you went – it wasn't you. Don Kang was there. Your emissary wasn't you, obviously.
Not to be confused with Don King.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. He was there.
It's very important.
He had a couple of tiny American flags, and he was saying only in America.
Is he here now?
No. Strictly in the United States, Dan.
Okay, my fault. Is he around, though? Is Don Kang, is investigator Don Kang around, or you can only find him on our YouTube channel, Chasing the Jokic Brothers, the mythical Jokic Brothers?
He's not with us anymore. He had a really hard end of 2022, a lot of heavy boozing and drugs and all sorts
dead?
Of other vices. Yeah.
He's dead.
Don Kang, RIP.
Don Kang.
Rest in power.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Wow.
Don Kang is dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
He lived a full life, Dan. I don't think we should mourn him. We should celebrate it.
Shit. Thank you, Amin. We will see. We look forward to future coverage.
No update. Kang is dead.
No update other than Kang is dead. We will see what else we get. Metal Arc Media appears to be just wasting money in both Vegas and Denver.
Let me tell you guys right now, ain't no bigger waste of money in the world than having a finals in Denver. This city, snooze fest. These people, you would think that it's like a Tuesday in October. No. This isn't I'm not criticizing the city as like a destination. I'm saying this is my 10th finals. Every city I've been in, there's been an energy from the airport to downtown to around the arena at all times that we're in the finals. Denver has none of that. When I tell you, and Tony, you remember, we walked around Milwaukee in 2021. Remember how many Dante DiVincenzo murals and pictures we saw? A million. Way, way more, a million times more than Nikola Jokic pictures and murals I've seen in Denver. It's like he doesn't play here.
Are you saying Miami is a great and better sports town?
Sounds like it.
Well, when it comes to basketball, you're damn right.
Yes.
Now, if it's the Broncos versus the Dolphins or
right.
the Avalanche versus the Panthers,
different story.
It might be a different story. Yeah. But when it comes to basketball, 1,000%, Miami is a better basketball town.
Boom. Yeah.
I will tell you again to check out what it is that him and Tom are doing on the post-game show. Also, Basketball Illuminati. They're doing a lot of good work all over the place. But what can you tell us, just a bite-sized portion? For the people who want the full hour, they can get it because it's a full hour of post-game coverage right after the game on YouTube. Lebatard and Friends is where you go. But what else can you tell us that people need to know about your coverage from out there?
Well, Game 2's post-game coverage was decidedly a lot more X's and O's. We were a lot more serious. I heard a lot of complaints from people that Game 1's post-game coverage had about 5 minutes of actual basketball coverage, and the rest was me running the stairs to prove that altitude is just a myth, which, by the way, it is. Throwing that out there, the altitude thing, propaganda, just like the Jokic brothers.
You sound like Tony.
Look, man, real hoopers know.
Thank you, Amin.
Thank you, Amin. We will go over later in the later in this finals. We will go over with you and Tony this new list of top 75 basketball hoopers of all time. Tony, look up for me, please, how it is they describe this list. It's one of the worst lists I've ever seen, but Tony has been
saying harsh, Dan.
Real hoopers know, and so we will.
It's the top 75 pure hoopers to ever do it. Again, don't look at the name, look at the game.
And Tony didn't write this list.
No, it's style, though. It's
scoring, it's style, it's pure hoopers. It's flash, it's pure hoopers. It's basically, if you woke this person up at 3 o'clock in the morning, gave him a basketball, put him in a game, they'd do their thing.
They'd score 20.
If Michael Beasley's not on this
list. He's absolutely on the list. Come on, what are we doing?
Monta Ellis is on the list. It's the strangest list of 75 players I've ever seen. We'll get to it later in the week. And we'll hopefully find the Jokic brothers. What is Jeremy nodding his head about?
It's a really good list, Dan.
Thank you, Jeremy.
It's a good list. Even I'm on board with this
Monta
one. It's a good
Ellis,
list.
Top 75.
He's a hooper, Dan.
Brandon Jennings is on there.
Yeah,
Brandon Jennings.
That's a pure hooper.
Thank you, Amin. We'll check back in later. Give me the
see
stat
you guys
of the,
tomorrow.
Give me the stat of the day music real quick, please.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
From David Eicholt on Twitter, baseball regional action, Iowa has hit more batters with thrown pitches than they had passing touchdowns all of last football season.
The Hawkeyes.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. It kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
I just heard a song that had Frank Sinatra singing from the window to the wall to the sweat drop off my balls.
Stugatz.
The window to
we all heard
the
that, right?
Walls till the sweat drops down my balls.
So what I'm saying here.
All these females crawl singing, oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn.
Old Blue Eyes.
Congratulations on your Suey nomination.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Dan?
Nice seeing you again. Thank you for doing this. He's a two-time NBA champion. He's a Hall of Famer and Stugatz. He's a recent college graduate. So among those three things, Ray, which is the one that makes you proudest? Those are the three. Two-time NBA champion, Hall of Famer, recent college graduate.
It's easy. The college graduate.
Chris Cody has waved you off. He thinks you're a liar. Chris Cody has now waved you off. He doesn't believe that it's true, and he's going to feel like a real asshole when you explain it to him.
Less people have done other stuff though.
I mean, we graduated college, Ray. That's all we're saying. That's it.
Right. You minimize graduating from college. That's why you wave it off.
Because,
but you got to understand, this was the longest senior year on record for me, right. For anybody probably.
Right.
And I didn't have to do it. So just if you guys understood, like the process from 1996. To then when I started again in 2007, 2008, and then picking it back up again in 2017, like this was a real process for me. And I didn't have to do it, but, you know, along the way, I learned a lot. And it set an example for my kids. My kids know and seen me play basketball, and they've been to games, and they understand the lore that surrounds, you know, who I've been in my career, but the education piece is something that really sets an example for them.
I understand that. I understand it's important. Mm-hmm. I get that it's important to you. The achievement is important, but I would give my high school diploma away for two NBA championships.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just pointing it out.
Your high school diploma.
A lot of people graduate college. Okay. They get a college degree. A lot of people get high school degrees. Not many people win two NBA championships. They're the biggest shot in NBA history.
We have your opinion on this. It is in the record. Thank you.
I love Ray.
For diminishing what Ray is telling you. Ray, why else was it important to you? Because, as you said, you've mentioned a couple of times, you didn't have to do it. You're successful. You're set up. You've got business interests. You have hobbies. It's a pain in the ass to do it. Why'd you have to do it? Was there another reason other than your kids? Was it for you, too?
Well, I'll tell you, one class I took was fascinating. I took actually when the election was happening. The class was 2020 elections. So I was learning things about the past and, you know, going back to the 70s and 80s on how we got to where we are in our current political climate. And so it was fascinating to me because I was posting things that I was learning in the class. And what I found out is most people, when they speak about what's going on, it's about opinion. You know, a lot of times people don't have facts. And I was able to learn things, you know, about the government that, you know, people, you know, kids growing up today, they don't understand or they don't care to learn because you pick up right kind of where you get entered into the social atmosphere, whatever the zeitgeist of the times are. But you don't understand what happened in the 70s or in the 80s to get us to the 90s and then the 2000s. And that's similar to sports. You know, we look at who's playing now. And we tend to think, you know, this is the best that's ever done. And this person does this and this person, they couldn't imagine someone being better. So when I think about my career, even before I got traded to Boston, I never thought that it was going to be feasible for me to win a championship. You know, this was 12 years into my career. And as I had played on a lot of bad teams, I had some semblance of success. But what you learn is that it takes luck to get to a team where not only do you want to win, but your teammates want to win and the organization wants to win. And I learned that being in Boston and in Miami, like that's not easy to come by. And then in the same token, in 2008, 2013, when you were on this journey, this mission to win, I wrote it. I talked about it in different places, but when we won in 2013, I went to the dentist the next day because you learn, you know, throughout this journey that you go on, like you just get handed the trophy on the day, but you win the championship on the journey, you know, based on the things that you do with, you know, the time spent, the practices, the collaborating, you know, throughout the year, that's what gets you the championship. You know, they show you who you've been on that day when you get the trophy.
But Ray, can you explain this part to us? Because I think people don't understand the obsessive compulsiveness that has to go in to you being the shooter that you were and how much sculpting is involved, almost to the detriment of everything else. Could you even keep up with things like education and history, given what your job demanded of you being great at basketball? Like, was there even time from your last year of college to actually pay attention to everything happening in the world because it was so important to be great at being better at shooting than everyone else?
No, you can. I always tell, and I tell these kids this now. excuse me, as
$5.
I have the opportunity to coach the kids at Gulliver Prep. There's three things the kids have. You know, they have their education, they have their sports, and then they have their social life. You can do all three of them, and you'll suffer in all three. So you got to choose two that I think you can do really well. You could be great at, and obviously you got to do your education. And if you're playing sports, that's got to be the thing. So it's super important when you're doing these things, like any athlete in sports, whether you're in college or the pros, what happens is when you get to the pros, you stop learning, you learn basketball and you're very skilled at playing that sport. And you hear guys talking about the game, very knowledgeable and experts. But the world, as it's happening around you, you have to also kind of improve your person, your character, because then that too does help you get better at the sport just the same. So you can do both really well. And, you know, learning when I learned in the classes I was taking while I was when I started taking classes, I was able to, you know, sometimes it was difficult to read books when I was on the plane. You know, you're tired, you're coming off of a long road trip. So things like that, they are deterrents, but you can do both really well. And just it requires you to manage your time well. And anybody can do it. You just have to commit to it. And it's a sacrifice that you always make. But again, I tell you, your social life has to suffer if you're going to, kind of embark on that mission.
Some basketball questions for you here. Paul Pierce was wondering, he said, I don't know who Ray is rooting for, when he was talking about Celtics Heat. And he was saying Celtics in five. What is the answer to that question? You're watching Celtics against Heat. Ray, don't do one of your dances. I don't want you to slither around this. Who were you rooting for?
I'm not a dancer, Dan. I'm not a great dancer, but and I'm not slithering. Or trying to, not answer your question. I was in a few months ago at the end of the season, I was in Milwaukee. And it was one of my first times being back in Milwaukee. And being in an arena, it was my first time, and got a chance to spend time. I took my boys, two of my older boys with me, and I got a chance to spend some time with Giannis in the back. He didn't play this particular game. And a lot of people in the organization I still know. So that's kind of how, even between Boston and Miami and living in Miami, like we were in the finals last year in Boston. So I'm in such a unique position with the three teams that I played for being three of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't take sides. I just watch objectively and understand the game. And I talk about both sides, non-objectively, what they need to do better to help win. And, it lends to a lively conversation at my table at home, because my kids, they root for different teams and they see certain things and they're watching the game. So I literally don't root for anybody. I just hope that both teams play well. And that's the honest to goodness truth.
Don't look now, Ray. You're dancing.
No, just devoid of human emotion. Devoid of human emotion. And he also played in Milwaukee, and so there's no answer to that question either. You weren't rooting for the Bucks. You were rooting for everybody to play hard and have a nice time.
No, whether they have a nice time or not, what I see is when I see bad basketball, when I see bad basketball, I call that out. I like to see both teams play, and, the truth of it, as much as the many threes that I've shot over my career, that's what ultimately you see, throughout the course of these games, these playoffs, and so many teams are so like three ball heavy. And I think ultimately you can succeed, but it ends up being your downfall if you don't mix that in with mid range shots, getting to the free throw line and not just settling on that three ball.
Right. I want to play a game with you. It's called a three pointer for your life. Okay, you only have two choices. Your life depends on this shot going in, okay? And your two choices are J.J. Redick or Larry Bird. Who's taking the shot? Redick or Bird, shot for your life. Who do you got? You can't choose yourself, Ray.
Well, myself, I know I was born in the morning, but not this morning. I know the two candidates were Bird and Redick, so yeah. I definitely went to choose myself.
Right. Good. You're following along. I'm proud of you. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know this game real well.
Yeah.
And here's another thing about generationally speaking about teams and players. Like, when I grew up, Larry Bird was a killer. Like, he was, you know, and would talk trash about it. So a lot of our machismo comes from, you know, Larry, Magic, Bird, you know, especially if you played in the 90s and into the 2000s. That's kind of who we modeled ourselves after. Like, I don't think anybody was a better shooter than Larry Bird. And then Reggie comes after, and he kind of catches that era, and then he builds his resume, and then I follow Reggie. So I pay homage to Larry Bird, you know, all day long.
Ah, he made
good,
the
you're
pick.
Alive.
There
yes.
it is. Yep. For your life. Congratulations, Ray Allen. You get to still be alive. Thank you for being on with us. It is always nice to see you, Ray. It really is. I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, Ray.
Stugatz, I don't love playing those sounds in the background. The look at me, Louie. He was very graceful, not.
I don't think he heard that.
Reacting to the look at me, Louie, but it can be seen as slightly disrespectful.
Shit!
And you were whispering in my ear.
I almost hit this.
Get off my plane.
Dan, I went to the movies the other day, and they're doing like a retro movie month, and they're going to play Air Force. Is that Air Force One?
That's
they're
American
gonna,
President.
Is it American President?
No, it's not
no,
American.
It's Air Force One.
Whatever
it's
the
just
movie
Billy
is,
being an asshole.
They put the commercial, and they're like, "Get off my plane." I turn to my wife, and go, "That's from the show."
Get
Billy,
off my
why
plane.
Can't you support anything Tony does?
Don Lebatard.
I've pulled up the Urban Dictionary definition of zaddy.
Yeah.
And it says here,
Christ,
a fine, handsome, and sexy-ass intelligent man that makes you smile and drip every time you see him.
What?
I absolutely hated listening to you read that.
Stugatz.
Hell yeah. My zaddy is all of that. Damn, Zaddy, got all my lips smiling.
Oh, no. He doesn't. You can't do this to him.
Yes, we can.
Daily. We
daily.
Do this daily.
You don't know what you're saying.
Winning him. Yeah, winning
that's
him.
Being, that's the perspective of a 20-year-old woman.
Winning him reads.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Welcome to Denver, Colorado, home of one of the most rare beasts to ever grace the earth, the Nikola Jokic, whose dominance and decision-making is unparalleled. However, he's also surrounded by two mythological creatures, the Jokic brothers, Armin El Irwin, and we're going to find out whether they actually exist here on the Dan Lebatard Show.
Have you seen the Jokic brothers in person?
They're enormous, and they are frightening.
See, look, I don't think they exist. I think this is all
I
like
was here.
It's all. I was here too. I didn't see him
with the Morris brother. Like the whole thing.
Well, no, I saw. Yeah, I saw Jokic hit the Morris brother, but I didn't see the Jokic brothers. I think this is all propaganda created by the league, by Denver, to keep us scared. The boogeyman in the night, right?
I just saw the promo for the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. They're worse.
They are like every Bond villain rolled into one. It's like Goldfinger and the dude from Diamonds Are Forever, you know, like Blofeld, all of them. They're terrifying, and you should be afraid of them at all times because they can kill you with their mind as well as with their hands.
They could always just get on a flight and go home after they do it.
Have you ever seen them out in the wild?
I haven't seen them out in the wild yet, but I don't know. The video evidence is pretty convincing, man. I don't know, but, you know, you're right. You know, CGI, special effects, who knows, man? Who knows?
Star NBA player says he's never seen Jokic, but I talked to Jeff Green. Jeff Green, I said, Jeff, are they real? He's like, yeah, they're real. I said, all right, well, when have you seen them?
No, I'm going to tell you the story. So last year when I first got here, I stayed by a big park here in Denver, Washington Park. And the first time I met the oldest brother, I was at a park with my daughter. And I just feel a big tap on my shoulder. Like, I'm talking about like a strong.
A meaty tap.
Yeah, like, yeah. And, you know, I'm like, at first I'm just like, all right, like, it's about to go down, it's about to, you know, happen. But, you know, I went my dog, he's like, hello, Jeff. And I'm like, what? And but he walks away. He doesn't stay, like, so I can say what's up back. And he keeps walking. I turn around, and older brother has tats all down his back. And I just look at him. And I look at my wife, and I just shake my head, and I start laughing. But, you know, they're great human beings, great people, but they're passionate about 15 and, you know, the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, you got to love it, though.
Saw the back. That's a good point. I don't know.
I think I'm on to something. I'm going to keep looking. Now, if I were to try to ensnare them in a sort of trap, what sort of bait should I use?
I can't speak to that. I don't know about that one.
Right, see? They got everyone shook. Everyone's afraid, but I'm not afraid of the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get to the bottom of this.
There are brothers. Stop this.
I mean, to see the fear in his eyes? He's bought it. He believes it.
Be afraid.
See, this is the propaganda they put out there, right? It's I'm just saying, it's like Bigfoot, Bigfoot. Be afraid of Bigfoot. Don't go out in the woods and stuff. But has anyone ever seen Bigfoot? It's like, it's all blurry.
If a big black dude is telling you to be scared of something, be scared of something.
I'm going to ask you for one piece of advice, perhaps.
Okay.
If I were to lure these...
Don't. Mm-mm. No.
Just bring them out in the open.
No, no. They have tattoos that change when they flex muscles. It's like Hyamine, and then they flex it. It's Hyamine El Hassan from Phoenix, who works for Metalark Media. Hi, Dan. I mean, it says it all the way around there.
This is exactly how mythology gets built. A little bit more every time, and now they're 10 feet tall. They breathe fire.
Does it have mic flags?
This interview's over. In my hand, I'm holding what looks to the naked eye to be a bottle of water. Nothing suspicious here. But inside, I've replaced the contents with 100% pure Serbian vodka. Catnip for the Jokic brothers, according to lore. Just gonna let it sit here. Most people won't even notice it. But I'll be watching, waiting to see if we can draw them out somehow. Now we play the waiting game. Come on, come on. Come out wherever you are.
Better as video coverage than audio coverage. You could see what begins with Amin El Hassan in an alley near a dumpster, ends with him hiding behind some sort of tarp that seems to be covering a television camera.
You have mic flags was the best question asked during that entire thing.
It was. Billy, you had commentary throughout in my earpiece. Do you want to share any of that with America?
No, I just asked if he was afraid to do the accent that he was doing in front of Jason Jackson, and then I realized that it just disappeared the entire video. Lots of accents today.
You also wondered, as did I, if we sent Amin El Hassan on an expense account to Denver to talk in a David Attenborough accent to Jason Jackson, which he could have done here without going to Denver, because he hosts a radio show with him on Sunday morning.
But he got Walker Kessler.
Called him a star, which is Amin just full of shit. Like, we all had to look at the lower third graphic to realize, who is that? He's tall. And then we're like, Utah Jazz Center.
I was like, what is Aiden Hutchinson doing there?
Stugatz, something I did want to celebrate for a moment, because I do know that while we're watching yesterday, I'm guessing Heat fans who know how important it is to steal one game in Denver, you're going to have to do that at some point. At the end of that game, Miami smelled like poop. Like, everyone shit themselves. Jamal Murray is shooting, and you just shit yourself because you're scared. And I understand. I get it. You care. But it happens as well to the athletes. They never tend to admit it. But let's play this Richard Jefferson sound from the finals a few years ago, where he is just waiting for Kyrie Irving and LeBron James to basically win the championship for him because he's running around scared. We'll get to that sound in just a second. But when I read these quotes from, for example, Jared Allen, saying the Cavs were eliminated in the first round to the Knicks, Jared Allen is like, the lights were brighter than I expected. That's Jared Allen.
Right.
Their front court was overwhelming. They lose in the first round to the Knicks. To see... And I want the audience to understand what I'm saying about underneath the nonsense of entertainment, Duncan Robinson cares about his job, cares about shooting. His money in incentives is tied to how much he plays. He becomes an undrafted player who gets to a $90 million contract, and many people listening would be like, okay, that's the destination, correct? $90 million, undrafted. You have a career here. You have a lifetime of money. You've now lost your job. And the last time we saw you in the finals, you were telling us you were kind of afraid of LeBron. You were awed by LeBron. You gave us the shitters at home watching at the end of games. You gave us the ammunition. You're a little afraid. You're out there and you're not as confident as the other guys. And then you lose your job because your organization says, yeah, we paid you, but other guys here are better. Strews will go 0 for 10 and keep shooting. Will you, Duncan? Because it seems we watch you think too much out there. To see that dude get stronger. To see that dude...
physically and mentally.
But his game get better because he's competing against other people for minutes.
Yep.
In a bleeping cauldron of your self-esteem, your identity. Yeah, you're a good shooter, but it's a fragile thing. You want to improve your game? Do you want to become a cutter? You want to make yourself more valuable? Because if you don't, we got a Gabe Vincent over here who wants to make money for his family. We got a Max Strus over here who wants to make money for his family. We got a Caleb Martin over here who wants to make money for his family. You live in that cauldron. The contract doesn't soothe you there.
No. But internal competition is great. It's great to get the best out
until you're living it.
Until you're living it, but it's worked here because Duncan Robinson, with that internal competition and hard work, like seeing Duncan Robinson take guys off the dribble last night, that was shocking to me.
Jeff Van Gundy will always be shocked by that.
He's done it all season, and it's a survival of the fittest thing. Like, you better, because Strus is doing it.
Right.
Because Caleb Martin is doing it.
I have no choice. Right. If you want playing time, you have to do it. And he did it.
And your job and your minutes rely on it. But this, the part that I want to talk about, Chris Bosh did this a few years ago. And let me know when you've got the Jefferson sound ready, please. Chris Bosh, going into Boston, said the first time he was there, whoa, I was caught off guard by that, by just the intensity of playoff stuff. And it became something that was used as a weapon against him. Boston crowd sensed, oh, you said that out loud. You're supposed to hide that. It's supposed to be bravado. Your fear is supposed to be concealed. Duncan Robinson probably regrets giving us the ammunition of, when I got to the finals against LeBron, I was awed that I was there against LeBron, and then it showed in the finals, and we held it against him, and then he loses his job, and then his organization doubts him, and then the organization is trying to trade him and can't find takers all offseason because your job and your career is in peril.
The cool part about that path is he's such a huge part of the reason that in 2020 they were able to even get to the finals, and he's such a big part of that. Then he gives us the I'm odd, and at points this season, right, during practice, during shoot-arounds, he's playing two-on-two with guys like Orlando Robinson and Jamal Kane because he has been relegated to, you are a bench player who isn't even in our rotation. It took not only Tyler Hero getting hurt, but also Victor Oladipo getting hurt for Duncan to earn his way back in. But what, Dan, you said before is Duncan's been working on this stuff over the last few years to turn himself into a more complete basketball player, and he was doing it against the guys that were, you know, they're next, the other two-way guys. And to watch Duncan as the guy who was already paid continue to put in that work ethic and be able to overcome some of the stuff that he's acknowledged, depression or anxiety, to now do it with Kevin Love in the locker room, a guy who's helped guide him in those ways, it's cool to see all of that come full circle for him.
These guys, Stugatz, talk after games about, well, we'll learn from this. I just want you to understand the mental strength it takes to have everyone bail on you and have to compete your way back up against Strus's and Vincent's, who want it just as bad as you. And when they go 0 for 10, they keep shooting because you can't think too much. You can't have frailty. You better build armor and scars around whatever it is your mental softness is, because to win at the highest level, when you're going against the MVP of the league in the fourth quarter in a hostile Denver, you better not be weak. You better not in any way have weakness anyway in your system, because it's been flushed out.
He turned that game around. He won the game for the
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.